Welcome to today's edition of the Rush Limbaugh Show podcast.
Always a pleasure to be with you. Great to see you on a Tuesday, and glad you're joining us on the EIB network. You should see the stack of stuff today. It's pretty large. And sadly, as predicted, and this happens so often, sometimes you might wonder why it's so easy to call attention to progressives and leftists and organizations like BLM making things worse, because they do. History bears that out. Right now, law enforcement is challenged beyond, probably this is the worst it's been challenged. This is what I'm hearing from law enforcement people that I know personally. You may be hearing the same thing. Police are facing recruitment struggles, lots of retirements. For example, and as I mentioned, some of these cities, you'll know they have a crisis there, not just in crime. For example, shootings last week up 200% in New York, probably because it's a gun-free zone. But New York, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Nashville, recruiting is in a crisis mode. In fact, here in Philadelphia, and I'm about 90 minutes from Philly, 1.6 million people live in Philadelphia. This is an example, though, of what's going on and what is being fueled by BLM and Team Biden. Philly is the fourth largest police department in the U.S., and 79 Philadelphia officers will be retiring shortly. They're down 268 officers, according to the Associated Press. They're down 268. And if you're wondering, well, how many police are there in Philly? 6,112. 1.6 million people. And this is why it's so imperative that the tone and the attitude toward law enforcement that is, it's getting ginned up by the left, and it's part of a narrative. I don't know if you saw the article. Los Angeles police have asked the NBA to investigate LeBron James after his dangerous tweet. Now, depending on who you listen to for your news, you may or may not think it's a dangerous tweet. And that's part of the problem. As you know, we can no longer count on the news media to give us the truth. This is a wonderful example. I'm going to read a headline. I'm not going to call anybody out here. This is a headline from a news organization. Basketball superstar LeBron receiving some backlash from the LAPD union after tweeting toward a police officer that works in Columbus, warning that he should be held accountable. Now, that isn't exactly what it said, and that's that tricky thing about leftist covering leftist. It never ends. That's that thing that's so tricky. What LeBron James said to his 50 million followers, "You're next, hashtag accountability." Now, that's a lot different than saying officer so-and-so should be held accountable. No, he said, "You're next." So this is kind of the vibe that we're getting from Hollywood and all over the place. It's so sad. It's so sad. And the scary thing, it's in schools. And what we're going to focus on, at least this segment, you'll see and hear so many examples. And I think because the news media does not share all the facts with so many people, I don't think they realize how things are unfolding that not only hurting police officers, getting them injured, getting them killed, but the left is shrinking the ranks of law enforcement. They've made it so unattractive. You know, and the same thing's happening with the military. And it has a lot to do with wokeness, but it has a lot to do with an acceptable level of contempt and resentment that our politicians, our community leaders, Black Lives Matter, and others are pumping into the minds of everyone in the community. And the thing that bothers me most, and this has always bothered me, is the influence that some of these people have on kids. Now, yesterday, Martha McCallum on Fox spoke with a black law enforcement officer. He's been Los Angeles PD 24 years. His name is Deion Joseph. Now, he is he's discussing the state of policing. He's the guy, if you remember, this just happened in the last week or so. He wanted to talk to LeBron James and say, look, let's discuss the law enforcement implications, the racial implications. Let's talk about this. And LeBron James never got back in touch with him. Now, think about that. LeBron James has the power to influence millions and millions and millions of people, but he refuses to change his language so it creates peace and debate. He'd rather use language that, to me, sounds like payback. When you say you're next, targeting a cop, that sounds like payback. Martha read him the following tweet from Missouri Congressman Cori Bush. And this is from 2 days ago. Here is what the congresswoman said. Our communities would have needed to spark a national movement to save, or they wouldn't have, excuse me. So this is grammatically incorrect as well. Our communities would not have needed to spark a national movement to save black lives in America if America were not racist as F. Now, that's a congresswoman. So now you see what our children and what our police officers, those men and women, are up against. Here's Deion Joseph.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, when the guy living in his mom's basement, stuck with his laptop, looking at collages and montages of police beatings that are carefully put together to excite and incite, I understand it when it's him. But when it's a political leader or a figure espousing the same rhetoric, that's when it's time to worry if you're a cop or a community member about the rise in crime, because basically you're going to give away the safety of your community to the criminal element, to the extent every big city in the United States of America is going to be New York in the 1990s. And it's inevitable. It's already happening. And for someone to be so reckless and irresponsible to paint the profession of law enforcement with such a broad brush, not to say that it doesn't have its issues, but it's just so reckless and irresponsible. And hence why officers are leaving. They don't feel supported.
You know, you wonder why police don't feel supported. And roughly a week ago, there was an incident, I believe it was Los Angeles County. It was in California. I'm going to play. This is going viral. This is big time viral. The body cam was just released. I want you to listen to this woman as she is stopped. Now, you may have been stopped for this very reason, but I want you to listen to the attitude of the woman, the demeanor, her comments, and how gracious and professional the law enforcement officer is being. Oh, I apologize. So that's not coming up. I apologize. Forgive me. Well, we're going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to correct that on my end, and I'm going to send it, and we'll get to that in a moment. But basically, you'll see and hear this. This is going viral. And this is a woman who is a school teacher, and she starts to call the police officer a murderer. Then she even says, I'm recording you because I thought you were going to murder me. Now, this is a African-American woman who teaches school. The police officer has done nothing but said, good morning, ma'am. The reason I'm stopping you is you're using your cell phone while you're driving. And then she just took it to a level that was horrific. She wanted to see a supervisor. She kept dropping the murder word. You know, it's easy to see why the police don't feel supported. This is happening all across the country, and what's heartbreaking is the news media is always there when there's a bad moment for a police officer. But it's harder and harder to find the news media when police are doing wonderful things. The word racism has lost its impact, so it's overused. And so now systemic has been added to racism, and systemic is becoming overused. You know, Rush talked about this the watering down and the manipulation of language during the Trayvon Martin case?
The left has begun to talk about profiling here, not racism. And they're accusing Zimmerman of profiling Trayvon. And that, of course, is a no-no to cops. You can't, you know, nobody likes profiling because it's judgmental. And in many cases, it's prejudicial. So profiling would be, see a young 17-year-old black guy in a hood equals criminal. That's profiling. Can't do it. Racism. But profiling, you know, the charge of racism, they've beat that to death, in a sense. It still works, but it doesn't carry the magic. It's not the automatic that it used to be. So they're searching on the left for a new way of making the same charge with the same impact racism or racist used to have. But it's like anything. They've gone to the well with it so much and so often for so many years that people's emotional reservoirs are empty. It's gotten to the point where whenever Al Sharpton opens his mouth and calls somebody a racist, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, another one now. Another one. You've seen another one. Where? Where? Point him out to you. People no longer take it as seriously as they used to. But profiling is an attempt to have the impact that the charge of racism or racist once had. And don't misunderstand. Racism as a charge is not dead. But it's not the automatic lightning rod it used to be. So they're using profiling. You'll note if you pay close attention, you'll hear profiling mentioned more and more often, particularly in this case. The problem with profiling is that it works. And that's why they want to stamp it out. That's why they want to get rid of it. But look, this whole thing, I'll tell you, folks, there's no reason for this country to be at war with itself. And if the left stopped starting fires and stoking them, we wouldn't be at war with ourselves. But they take an event where there isn't any racism and they start bellyaching and moaning and whining about it often enough, and they start doctoring 9/11 tapes, and voila, people think you've got a racial incident. In the meantime, real racial incidents end up being ignored. We have two examples of it just today, horrendous examples of black-on-white crime that just is ignored, shows up in local media, and that's it. Nobody goes any further with it, and nobody tries to extrapolate. It's just reported for what it is, but it's not said to be representative of anything. This Zimmerman Trayvon Martin thing was a bunch of nothing compared to what they tried to make it.
Brilliant. Well, you can see why mainstream doesn't want to talk that level of truth. But that right there, Rush just described an entire plank of the leftist mantra or the Democrat Party. Earlier today on Fox, there was a officer. He's the operations commander at a college, public safety. His name's Major Kelvin Dingell. He posted this video. Listen to this.
I wake up every morning and kiss my family goodbye, knowing that there's a possibility I won't come home. I am tired of every time I wake up in the morning, there's someone else polarizing the fact that maybe law enforcement is just not a good thing. All of us are not bad. I am not as they are. Most of us are not. There are bad people in every career. I'm so damn tired. Tired.
We'll be right back on the EIB Network. The Rush Limbaugh Show, the EIB Network. My name is Ken Matthews. I'm your guide today. Frustration across America. The foundational pieces of our communities and our culture. There are times they appear to be crumbling right before our very eyes. I'm not just talking about schools and churches. It's law enforcement is a crucial component of a civilized society. But even the term law and order has been attacked. Remember when President Trump used to say, I am the law and order president. I want to bring law and order. And then right on cue, well, you can't say law and order. That's racist. No, it's not. It's not. And all you have to do is survey any minority community. Maybe the radicals in the community or the people from BLM that burn down companies that donate to them. That's something else that I find ridiculous. When you go through some of these cities, you'll find that some of the companies they attacked or looted, off the top of my head, I'm thinking Target and Foot Locker in particular. Both of those companies have graciously donated millions of dollars to BLM. But that doesn't stop people from attacking them. It's bizarre. You know, Rush used to talk about the narratives, how they're developed, and how this mantra of defunding the police, it worried him. It worried all of us. Last year, he was appalled when, now think about this, speaking of President Trump, when the president made headlines for doing something that used to be normal, everyday common sense.
I just saw a headline graphic on Fox News, and it said, Trump opposed to defunding the police. Well, duh, who's in favor of defunding the police? Why is that even news? I know Trump had a big deal today to Rose Garden, and he's got his police reform executive order on safe policing for safe communities and so forth. And it's a good move. It's an excellent move. But the idea, stop it, the idea that it's news that the president of the United States opposes defunding the police. I'm not ripping Fox News. Don't misunderstand. It's bigger than that. It's how narratives and templates are developed. Defunding the police is insane. It's absurd. It is not mainstream. And yet, it seems to be an idea that smart people are open to. Yes. Enlightened people may actually see some benefits to it. So the president comes out, makes it clear he's opposed to it, and that's a headline of the day. The headline of the day is whoever in heck is in favor of it. That should be the headline of the day. It's all very subtle, folks. It's how the drive-by media succeeds in characterizing what used to be normal, everyday common sense as oddball, out of the mainstream extremism.
And they've done this with everything. Think about where they've done this, okay? Think about how the left has thrown this blanket of absurdity and disbelief over things that are commonsensical. They've totally covered everything. And again, you know, I'm going to bring up the transgender issue for just a second. So why would it be so hard to believe that someone that's teaching your 9-year-old that even though he's a boy, he's a girl? Why is it so hard to believe that we should get rid of police? We should let more prisoners out, and we should have volunteers do traffic stops without guns? It is absurd, but we are pummeled with a stream of absurdity from the left. And then, sadly, gutless, biased news media just reinforces it over and over. I don't know if you've seen this. This is, again, you cannot make this up. Black Lives Matter just issued demands. Oh, yes. They do that often. They update it. And then people like Don Lemon get excited and read it. But I'm going to share some of the demands with you. This is from Black Lives Matter. Convict and ban Trump from future political office. Expel Republican members of Congress who attempted to overturn the election and incite a white supremacist attack. Number 3, launch a full investigation into the ties between white supremacy and the Capitol Police, law enforcement, and the military. Number 4, permanently take away Donald Trump's free speech. Ban him from all digital media platforms. It's like we're reading Karl Marx and Adolf Hitler's helping him edit it. Defund the police. Of course, that's in there. Don't let the coup be used as an excuse to crack down on the BLM movement. And, of course, pass the BREATHE Act. I want to go back to that don't let the coup be used as an excuse. Why not? You were behind it. You know, this just As a proponent of free speech and a big fan of the Constitution, which is no longer being taught in most schools, I just can't believe this list from BLM. And the thing that just the whole concept that an organization could say, by the way, no longer fund law enforcement and ban the 45th president of the United States from being able to speak to anybody. How did that happen? It happened because the Democrat Party allowed it to happen. Now, again, I apologize for that technical problem we had earlier, but I now have this audio soundbite. I want you to hear the courtesy and professionalism of a law enforcement officer in L.A. County stopped a woman who happens to be a African-American woman. She also happens to be a teacher. We find all this out as it progresses. But he just was stopping her because she was on her cell phone. Listen to this conversation.
I pulled you over because
you're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you can't you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
And can you call your supervisor, please?
Because I already did. He's on his way.
Good, because you're a murderer. Is that why you're harassing me?
Not harassment. Yeah. I am enforcing the law.
I have a right to and record the police when they're harassing me.
By all means, but you can't do it while you're driving.
I wasn't texting or none of that.
You had that picture?
Scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay.
You're doing this because it's part of your little gang.
Can you zoom in on that for me,
dear? Sure.
Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
Murderer. You're a murderer.
What's that? Hold that still for me.
Okay, murderer.
Bring that back up there.
There you go, murderer. I can't wait to get to you and let know that you're a murdering freak.
Pull that back up for me, ma'am.
Okay, murderer.
What's your last name? I can't see that there.
Well,
if
here you go, murderer.
Stop shaking. Zoom in on that for me.
No, because you're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son.
He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
There you go, ma'am. Sign inside the red box right there.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasso?
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go, dear.
White.
Have a good day.
Wow. I'm so glad that you were able to hear that wonderful teacher on her way to class to impart her wisdom onto young people. And you wonder why you turn on the news and people are talking not out their mouth or even out of their nose. They're talking out of that lower area below the waist there. Yes, that's where it comes from. You could not make that up. But I have to tell you, having seen thousands of body cam police tapes, because unlike most of the news media, those of us in talk radio have to do research. We get held accountable for what we say. You can say anything you want on CNN. You could say anything you want in the New York Times. No biggie. But if we're going to quote or share a police officer's tape or comments with you, we have to watch it. And over again, I hear that level of hate and contempt totally unwarranted against law enforcement in this country. It's disgusting. I understand why nobody wants to be a police officer now. And you have to be polite and professional. And the more progressive leadership in your city, the more they expect you to be walked on. In some cities, if someone hits you in the head with a brick, some people will say the excuse is, well, you can't respond. I mean, you had a helmet on. What's the problem? Democrat politicians have actually said that. I don't think people realize the impact police have on our everyday lives. It's truly amazing. There's a wonderful story out of Mount Vernon, New York. Just quick, if you have a chance to check it out. Two officers, Cartwright and Velez, called the Dollar Tree. It was shoplifting. They went inside. They realized the guy stole a pair of socks. And that's it. Okay? Now, just to point out to some of you folks in college, there's a difference between a man stealing a pair of socks because his feet are covered with sores and he needs a pair of socks and he takes a 99-cent pair of socks versus let's break out the front of Target and Best Buy and take six flat screens because Black Lives Matter. I just want to point that out because I'm sure there's some college kid thinking, ooh, darn college. After discussing the situation with the store manager, the police said, we'll buy the socks. We want to give you access to more clothing and things that could help you out. Let us take you someplace where a community organization can help you. Now, why isn't that front page news? No, seriously, why isn't it front page news? I wanted to put those side by side. I wanted you to hear an angry liberal woman and what flows from her mouth and how professional this police officer was. And may I throw in, did you notice her level of racism and hate? You see, this is all part of 2020's American awakening. You know, Rush nailed this years ago. The Democrat Party has declared war on the police.
San Francisco Mayor London Breed announced on Twitter last night that she gonna look to redirect money from the police department to the African-American community in the next budget. You know, Barack Obama declared war on the suburbs when he was president, tried to make people feel guilty for moving and living in the suburbs. So here we are years later, after radical Democrat-affiliated organizations laid waste to the cities, the suburbs are winning and people are moving there. So now they've declared war on the cities again. Defunding the police is the plan, not just in San Francisco. Brian Fallon, former spokesman for Attorney General Eric Holder, called for cutting off funds for police departments in the wake of George Floyd's death. Brian Fallon, former spokesman for Holder, part of the Obama regime, former spokesman for the Hillary Clinton campaign, tweeted, defund the police. The Minneapolis City Council president, Jeremiah Ellison, the son of Keith Ellison, claims they're going to dismantle the police, not just defund them. Los Angeles, the same. Minneapolis Parks and Recreation Board follows the school board in ending its relationship with the police department. I'm not kidding. It's not just defunding. The Minneapolis City Council is seriously considering disbanding the police. New York City's controller, Scott Stringer, sent a letter yesterday to the city's mayor, Bill de Blasio, asking him to cut $1.1 billion of funding to the New York Police Department. Folks, the Democrat Party, an abject failure, its failures on full display, is now declaring war on America's police. First responders, in an election year, do they really think that a majority of Americans hate the cops? Do they really believe that they have convinced a majority of Americans that the cops are simply an extension of this filthy, dirty, white supremacist power structure? And that if this white, systemic, racist power structure's got to go, then the cops have got to go because the cops are the primary protection agency for the systemic white racists and supremacists? They think a majority of Americans agree with this? Why else do this? Is it simply fundraising and they're going to change their minds later? I mean, how do you walk back this? How do you walk this back when you get all kinds of people revved up for it? I'm telling you, the people that vote for these lunatics are buying this. They're celebrating it. People in L.A., Minneapolis, New York, they're running around celebrating. Some of them are. Most of the people that live in these places are scared to death. But there are some liberal Democrat voters that think this is the greatest thing that they've ever heard. And they believe it. What are the Democrats going to do when the time comes they have to walk this back and say, hey, you know what? We can't do it. We were a little premature. Or are they going to walk it back? Or are they going to own this?
I don't know if there's time to own it. People are just leaving law enforcement at such a rate. It is incredible. And Rush has been warning about this for years. You know, before you refinance, get a free loan review from American Financing, the only mortgage lender Rush recommended that you rely on for such things. You might recall him saying this.
Mortgage rates are still very low, and that makes homeownership very affordable, especially when you work with our friends at American Financing. Their mortgage consultants are in it for you. They create custom loan programs designed around your budget, including access to some of the most competitive interest rates. There's never any pressure, no obligation, no upfront or hidden fees. It really is a straightforward process that'll get you further along in your plans.
Start saving on your mortgage by calling American Financing. Here's the phone number Rush always shared with you, 800-795-1210. That's 800-795-1210. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334. NMLS, consumeraccess.org. As you can hear today on the Rush Limbaugh Show, the EIB Network, so much of the early stack of stuff for the first segment of the show talked about our great law enforcement, the men and women of law enforcement, and how the ignorance of the far left and some of these progressive policies are making it so hard for them to do our job. And there is a story. You may have heard it. If you haven't, we're going to share it with you now because we have someone from the story that'll speak with us in a moment. There is the father of a teenage girl who was killed by police in a shootout. She was with a friend. She was killed by police. And the father invited the police chief to speak at the funeral. He called us yesterday. And we are going to speak with Mr. Roush right now, and I'd like to welcome you, sir, to the EIB Network.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being on. My heart is so heavy having read your story, and then I don't know how your heart is so big that you were able to extend an invitation to this police officer to the funeral. Would you like to share how that kind of happened and why you did it? It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sitting here right now with my daughter in my lap in her ashes. And there's so much love for her and her whole struggle that she went through in her life in these last 4 years as a teenager. And I just wanted to also throw in there my hats off to all the 12-step programs in this planet because they help people like us that have recovery issues, you know, addictions and what have you. And, you know, February 28th, Sunday, around 6 o'clock p.m., I get a door knock at my door. I'm living in Blair, Nebraska. And it's two police officers. And they ask if they can come in. And I'm like, yeah. And they come in and they break the news that my daughter was just killed by the police in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And at that moment, you know, I felt like I was being lifted 2 feet up in the ground and just kind of floating in the air. I really didn't know how to react. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I didn't instantly go right to those police. They messed up. What did they do? What was wrong with them? You know, this is ridiculous. I didn't go there at all. Instantly, I wanted to know what happened because I understand what my daughter was going through. And she did have a gun, her and her boyfriend, and she pointed it and she shot at the police. So the police were doing their job. And the two officers that told me this in Blair were so kind. They sat with me for 2.5 hours in my house because I was alone. My 14-year-old boy is in the other room, and they knew this was like a heavy thing. And it already began their kindness. So that set a beautiful tone. And then they gave me the phone number to the Chief Teehee in Muskogee, Oklahoma. And I called him a few hours later because he was busy on the scene and spoke with him and was just asking him questions. And he was telling me, he was so honest and forthright, telling me everything that he knew that went on. And then in the next couple of days, we continued conversations because I had more and more questions because I'm a private detective. And so I have lots of questions. And he just answered everyone. He was just so forthright. And then, like, the third day of talking to him, it just he was telling me how his other officers are devastated for shooting this 17-year-old beautiful young girl. And they didn't even know, you know, because they had hoods on or whatever. And they're devastated. They've been – I don't even know if they're working yet. And they had teenage daughters, too. And he was telling me that. And I was like, you know what? I just – I have this inkling inside me. I really want you and the officers to come to my daughter's funeral. And he was, like, dumbfounded. He was taken back. He said he'd been in the, you know, police officer for 35 years. And never once has he ever heard anything like this. And he didn't know how to handle it. And he said he'd get back with me. But he said, you know, I'm telling you right now, for you to be able to forgive us, that already gives us the green light to just forgive your daughter. And and then it got deeper and deeper and deeper. And he shows up at my daughter's funeral, March 10th.
I have
year.
That. And, I saw the photograph of you two crying and hugging. And I thought, God, more people need to hear what you have to say, because you are proof of love and forgiveness and how it works, you know. And I just thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. We'll be right back. You know what premieres a week from tomorrow? James Golden's new podcast series. You know him as Bo Snerdly. Listen to this.
Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the Golden EIB microphone. A new podcast hosted by yours truly, James Golden, or as many of you know me, Bo Snerdly. Come with me behind the scenes for an exciting and intimate look at the man who changed America as we know it. Coming Wednesday, May 12th to iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, presented by MyPillow and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
And as I often say to Bo on the phone in our many, many conversations, you really don't need a woofer on your system that you're listening to when Bo's on, because he has the deepest voice in the world. But I can't wait to hear that series, because here's a man who really mind melded with Rush Limbaugh for three decades. And you can see why Rush loved him so much. Always good to speak with you. Thanks for joining the conversation on the EIB Network, the Rush Limbaugh Show. I am your guide for today. I don't know if you saw the big speech. Well, it really wasn't a big speech. I think that when Joe Biden spoke yesterday, he was talking about massive spending plans, but that's pretty much every speech he gives, is it not? The speeches are usually like, well, what do I do now? Or where am I? Or we're going to spend a lot of your money. And yesterday, part of it included free community college in the big massive spending plans. You know, it all starts with the COVID relief package, and then somehow it gets to way over the top. And this is from Center Square. Biden promoted free community college for all Americans and dreamers. So now we got the dreamers involved. The thing that was so impressive yesterday, I thought, I mean, kudos to Mr. Biden. He got through three sentences without making a mistake, which is, that is a big deal. Or as Biden would say, a big blanking deal. He spoke at Tidewater Community College in Norfolk, Virginia, to promote his proposal, which would provide, among other things, $109 billion of our tax money that he'll pretend he gave to future voters for tuition-free community college.
Just think about it in terms of what's better for America, not Democrat, Republican, individual. What's going to grow America more? What's going to grow America more? What's going to make us more competitive, stronger? What's going to make us better educated? So for folks at home, I'd like to ask a question. Do we want to give the wealthiest people in America another tax cut? Or do you want to give every high school graduate the ability to earn a community college degree?
You know, the thing about, and I was talking to one of our team members here at EIB, and we were talking about paying for college and the thing about the term free college. First of all, that's the biggest mistake people make in America, the way that's characterized. There is nothing that is free. And when it comes to the government, that's definitely not free. It's our money. There's nothing that's free. So when someone says, I got this free money from the government. No, it's either your money given back to you, as next week is tax week, if I'm not mistaken, because of the delay. It's the 15th of May or whatever. It's either your money given back to you, and then we've potty trained generations saying, oh, man, I'm so stoked. Look at the money I got back. It's your money. Okay, that's one part of it. The other part of it is every time Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi says, we're going to give you all this stuff, it just means we're going to target other members, other hardworking members of America, maybe even your neighbor. And we're going to take their money and we're going to give it to you. That's what's so frustrating. And what we were talking about is the difference between people that are doing something on a free ride versus paying for it themselves, whether it's your kids paying for their car, your kids helping out with room and board, your kids helping out with insurance, whatever it may be, or in the case of college, your kids borrowing money, paying it back, or working, or whatever. There's definitely a distinct difference between the way people treat anything, whether it's a service or a product, if it's free versus if they had to save. Now, some of you have experienced schools in session all year. For example, there's a couple free states still out there. Florida is a free state. Texas is a free state. A lot of the blue states, sadly, are occupied. We warned you. Some are just now seeing those schools reengage. Florida and Texas, they've been open for a while. Now, the teachers' unions, they continue to politicize the science. See, this COVID thing was a boon for teachers' unions because now they could say, you know, now that I think about it, I'd really like to stay at home by the pool and teach the kids virtually. You know, I'll just put up a little board next to the pool. This would come as no surprise to Rush, as they have always politicized the science.
Here's Taylor Ridge, Illinois. This is Colby, and it's great to have you with us. Hello.
So I'm 17 years old, and it's my senior year in high school. And our school was actually supposed to start today, but the day before, everything got delayed with COVID, people saying they have it, everyone's self-isolating. Do you think left-leaning teachers, schools, and unions are purposely delaying schools, trying to delay all of it so the kids can't get to school?
Well, in the case of teachers' unions, I don't think it's a matter of do I think. I think they are. I think they're being pretty vocal about the fact that they don't want to go back because of the risk, and they're demanding all kinds of, new benefits or things. Here is Colby. You're 17 years old, and I don't want to shock you, but I think all of this, that is pretty much any effort to delay the reopening of the country, reopening of the schools, getting the economy going, everything is political in nature. There's a political explanation for every question that you will have. It's a sad thing. It's a sad reality that because politics has the ability to corrupt, and that's one of the dangers we face. So, I mean, the short answer to your question is that I think a lot of people are trying to delay this to harm the Trump reelection effort. They're trying to delay it because they might be scared. They're trying to delay it because they're just general malcontent, so forth. Yeah. I'm glad you called. I appreciate it.
You know, this COVID thing was hit from so many different political angles, like Rush just spoke of. Not just the delay and the restructuring of the process of an election, but restructuring school, restructuring finances, changing travel, changing HIPAA laws. Think about how the left was able to milk this. And here we have again Biden pushing tax hikes for the rich. He's going to give the free school. He's going to, this is free, that's free. It's like a broken record with the left. The darn rich. But as we told you yesterday on the show, Democrats are wealthier as a party than Republicans. And there's more wealthy Democrats than Republicans that vote, according to the census. So that it not only is it a broken record, it's just another lie that doesn't make sense. But even if you could take a dime from the every penny from the richest people in the country, it's not nearly enough to pay for this fantasy spendapalooza. They tried it in Venezuela, and it didn't work. And here's Rush reminding us of the old pay their fair share line.
Check the email. Mr. Limbaugh, they're going to pay for all this free stuff by raising taxes to 90% on the rich. All right, A, it's not going to happen. They'll talk about it. 90% would be the top rate. We'd have to explain marginal tax rates. Not every, well, the super wealthy, they would make everybody pay 90%. But here's the thing about this. This is also old. This is something that the top marginal tax rate used to be 75-80% back in as recently as 1980. Did you know that? Top marginal rate was 70% when Reynaldus Magnus took office. Here's the thing, and you can run the numbers on this yourself. You could confiscate, take it all the billionaires in America. You wouldn't have the money to pay for health care for more than a couple of months. You wouldn't have nearly enough money to run the federal government for 6 months. On a $4 trillion budget, people, these numbers are beyond comprehension. You know, a billion is 1,000 million, and a trillion is 1,000 billion. Well, you've lost. You can't visualize it. But I'm just telling you, confiscate every billionaire's total worth, net worth, gross worth, income, take it all. And you'll only do that one time. It doesn't replicate. Billionaire income doesn't start from zero every year and create. Once you take it, it's gone. And you can't even run the government a couple of months with it. Not that that kind of thing would matter to people because it's an emotional thing. Take the rich aren't paying for it. It's amazing how the stuff that never works just gets recycled and have to deal with it, educate a whole new crop of people that it just doesn't work.
It's just group of people after group of people, and some just keep buying it. But you've heard it said before. There's only two sure things in life, death and taxes. Here's the third. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, switching to Pure Talk will save you money. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family of four over $800 a year. And the best part of that is you don't have to sacrifice coverage. That's because it's on the exact same network as one of those other providers. Switching is so easy, you can keep your phone, keep your number, and with one cell phone call to Pure Talk, you can get started today. When you do switch to Pure Talk, you get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you go over on your data, they don't charge you for it. When Rush heard the story of Pure Talk and how they handle their customer service, all here in the United States, he started sharing the Pure Talk story. He saw it as a benefit to you. Their CEO is a U.S. veteran who understands what real service means. You'll get to experience that level of care when you talk to their customer service team. You do that by making a single phone call on your cell phone, just 4 digits. Just dial #250 and say keywords Pure Talk to save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Ho, ho, ho. It's Miraclaus. Who else but Rush would have the guts to call Barack Obama Santa Claus and put it to music? The EIB Network, it's just one of the many bonuses. And, you know, my dad told me, and I tell my sons, anything that the government gives you, it's either recycled from tax money that you paid or tax money that your neighbor paid. That's what you're getting back from the government. So when you hear, I hate those terms, government giveaway or free school, or no, the government pays for all of this. No, your neighbors do. And we've been taught by the left. We've been taught by Marxists, because Marxists hate the wealthy unless it's them. So that's why a John Kerry or a Barack Obama hate wealthy people that disagree with them. They don't hate wealthy liberals. You think they hate George Soros? No. But that's the this is generation after generation, just a little tweaking of the message, a little tweaking of we're just going to manipulate the definition of capitalism and this, that, and the other thing. So when Biden pitches $6 trillion in stuff last week, in gifts, and we're going to give this free stuff, free daycare, free this. Everybody gets a hat with a propeller on it. Everybody gets a jetpack for free. Everybody gets to go to the moon. The Club for Growth pegs this as a $123 trillion national debt. And all that stuff, all that fakery from Mr. Biden goes on their tab. You cannot spend your way to prosperity. This is a lesson we all learn from history. Here's Rush.
There are a number of, well, a handful, four or five Republican elected officials who are, they heard me the other day say that as a political strategy, asking Democrats how they're going to pay for all this, you know, I said, that's, I don't think that's going to work anymore. Not as a means of persuasion. I don't think it's going to make people not support what the Democrats are saying, the idea of having to pay for it. And the reason is because I'm not sure how well it's ever worked, to tell you the truth. But especially now, with as much debt, national debt, the annual budget deficit, I mean, it is clear that we don't have any money, and yet we're spending money like there's no end to it. There's no fiscal discipline anywhere in our national life. There isn't any. Now, certain people are not being given everything they want, but when it comes to overall expenditure, the government's not cutting back on anything. We're not acknowledging we have a deficit. We're not acknowledging we have a national debt. Look at Obama. The first thing he does after being elected and inaugurated is come up with this magic almost $1 trillion stimulus. And nobody opposed it because we didn't have the money. Well, the Tea Party did, and they came to life. But Obama's people, Obama didn't lose any people that voted for him because of that. My point is, as a means of persuasion, demanding to know how the Democrats are going to pay for it, it's a logical question to ask. And economically, it makes all the sense in the world. I'm simply talking about as a means of persuading people to oppose or question the Democrat agenda, how to pay for it. I don't know that it works. I'd love to be wrong about this. I think there are other ways of demonstrating we don't have the money, what that means, rather than just, because clearly not having the money is not stopping these proposals. If we don't have the money, what is this free health care for everybody? If we don't have the money, what is free education for everybody? If we don't have the money, what is free health care for all illegal immigrants? If we don't have the money, why is anybody proposing it? If we didn't have the money, the Democrats wouldn't be proposing. They're proposing this because it doesn't matter whether we have the money. They're going to spend it anyway. Or they're going to make people think they're going to spend it. They're going to make people think they're Santa Claus. The fact that we don't have the money is not going to stop Democrat voters from voting Democrat. But the results of not having any money, the manifestations of not having the money, we cannot provide health care for all, same quality, on demand. We simply can't. Look at the lines that would result. Look at the people that wouldn't be treated. There would be subpar treatment. There would be unequal treatment. Some people wouldn't be treated at all. It isn't possible to do what they're suggesting. Same thing with free education. The people that teach are going to have to get paid. Nothing is free. And yet they tout it as free and they get votes because people believe that it's not going to cost them anything. So who it costs and how that affects people not paying for it is what our focus should be.
You know, that is so on point, and it's the equivalent, and I told my sons this, it's the equivalent of Joe Biden is going to give you a credit card that someone else applied for and will pay. That's all it is. That's all it is. And Joe Biden and the left, they've been doing this for decades. They do this with every group they want to woo because their ideologies are so weak. So the big thing now is what? More immigrants are allowed into the country. More refugees. I think it's four times what it was just a few months ago. You know what's going on at the border. And they're all getting an opportunity to get benefits from you and me. They're given all these different cards. And see, you thought that the Democrats were just handing out the race card. No. They're handing out credit cards, and then you and I get to make the payments on it. It's wonderful. And then they get the benefit of those people voting for them. Let's go to Jeffrey in Miami, Florida. Jeffrey, you're on the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Thank you, Ken. I have something very important to say. First of all, I'm from Miami, and I was in the nightclub business in the 70s and 80s. And that's when the cocaine wars started. First of all, the South Americans, the Colombians, had the business, all right? Then the Mario Botnick came over, and they let out a lot of people, a lot of Cubans from prison. They went right to the Cuban mafia for jobs. Now what happened is they didn't get their cocaine from Colombia. They got it from Bolivia and Peru. All right, that started the biggest drug war ever. 600 people got murdered down here, and on Time magazine, they had Paradise Lost. Now what's coming across the border? Teenagers. And everybody thinks they're so innocent. In high school, people didn't get their drugs from the dealer on the street. No, you got it from the student sitting next to you in algebra class.
That is such an incredible observation, and Jeffrey would know. He's from Miami and he saw this happening. This is something else that so few people are covering on the border. But our listeners got it. Thank you for tuning in to the show today. The number is 800-282-2882. Great phone calls. Thank you for making time for the EIB Network today on the Rush Limbaugh Show. My name's Ken. Some quick headlines before we go back into. I want to dig a little deeper on this. The lack of leadership that Mr. Biden has on immigration, among other things. But very quickly, I don't know if you saw this. I'm only bringing it up because it's made international headlines. Bill and Melinda Gates have announced they're getting divorced. Now, I know people are they're very worried about Melinda. Will she have enough money? So we've started a GoFundMe page. I'm kidding. Can you imagine? Anyway, I think they're worth $150 billion, which is it's certainly a lot more than Biden is worth, at least now. So that's that. And then I don't know if you saw this, the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, or as I like to say, Anthony Blinked. And I'm quoting him, "Our purpose is not to contain China." See, that's the problem, Tony. Can I call you Tony? That's the problem. That's the problem with Biden. That's the problem with the people that he surrounds himself with. Now, his handlers are different. His handlers don't give an inch. The people that are puppeting Biden, like Obama, who lives two blocks away, or whoever else may be involved, the puppeteers. But Biden is, well, let me just say that Rush was so right. You know, Biden bends on pretty much everything. And the left, what has the left always done? And Rush has always told us, the left always will telegraph what they're going to do. And this is what they thought Biden's best quality was. Well, you know, he's willing to cave and what? He's willing. No, Biden is willing to sell out America and put America fourth, fifth, or sixth if it's good for him and then the party that supports him. Rush spoke about the Marxist radical Angela Davis. She used to be involved with the U.S. Communist Party. And she even said, Biden is the candidate who can be most effectively pressured.
Angela Davis, former vice president, U.S. Communist Party. These Marxists and commie pinkos go all the way back to the 60s. Anyway, here is what she said about her group, the radical left, and their preference in this presidential election.
I don't see this election as being about choosing a candidate who will be able to lead us in the right direction. It will be about choosing a candidate who can be most effectively pressured into allowing more space for the evolving anti-racist movement. Biden is very problematic in many ways, but Biden is far more likely to take mass demands seriously.
Do you realize how profound what you just heard is? This may be one of the most eye-opening, illustrative, for those of you real into sound bites that I will use today. This tells you everything you need to know about who the American left is. All right, here we go. We'll play it one more time. I'm telling folks, you are listening to a profound profundity here. There are two ingredients in this, she says, that will tell you everything you need to know about who these people are.
I don't see this election as being about choosing a candidate who will be able to lead us in the right direction. It will be about choosing a candidate who can be most effectively pressured into allowing more space for the evolving anti-racist movement. Biden is very problematic in many ways, but Biden is far more likely to take mass demands seriously.
Translation, he's the bigger wimp in the race. The first thing she says that is profound is, we're not looking for a leader. We're not looking for anybody to lead us anywhere. We radical leftists, we already know where we're going. We don't need some pretender leader. And Joe Biden certainly isn't one of those. Joe Biden's not a leader. Now, the reason we support Biden, and we don't even really like the guy, but the reason we're supporting Biden is because he's a wimp. He'll do what we say. He will respond to our efforts to intimidate him. That's what it means when she says that he's far more likely to take mass demand seriously. She's dressing it up, but what she's really saying is, this guy is going to cower in the corner the first time we confront him. This guy's going to give us everything we want because he's a coward, because he won't stand up to us. The last thing this guy is a leader. By contrast, they want no part of Trump because they can't intimidate him. They want no part of Trump because he is a leader, and he's going to lead people in a direction opposite the chosen path of Angela Davis and her merry band of radical leftist Marxists. This soundbite, and believe me, she does speak for a lot of them. She's of emeritus status. She's protester emeritus status. If the left were a law firm, she would be of counsel status. She's a heroine to these people. And she is just laying it all out. They don't need a leader. They don't need somebody taking them. They know exactly where they're going to go, where they want to go. They don't need some guy in a White House or a woman. They don't need anybody paving the way. They need somebody to get out of the way. They need somebody that's going to just cave to them rather than stand up to them.
That is an amazing insight and, as always, accurate, pinpoint accurate. If you look at the people that are puppeting Joe Biden and you look at how easy he can be moved around. For example, the greatest example just in the past week, there was a moment, there was a flicker of common sense that got into Joe Biden's head. I don't know if he fell down again or, well, he falls up, but he falls upstairs. But I don't know if he fell forward or backward. But something got into his head. And law enforcement officials and some border people said, Mr. President, That had to make him cringe to even say that. But they said that, and they said, here's what we think. And remember, for a minute, he wasn't going to mess with President Donald Trump's limitations on immigration, child kids immigrating and refugee status and some other crucial components of what was actually making the border safe. Of course, he pretty much blew that up because we still have holes in the wall now because from day one, he forced them open. President Biden did. But he got a bunch of pressure from the left, the radical left, the actual leaders in the Democrat Party. The Democrats, as Rush said, they don't want leaders because the majority of their party are sheep. So they really don't need leaders. They just need some other sheep. So they, someone like Angela Davis is thrilled to have a follower in the Oval Office, along with, and this is what worries me, the Communist Party, China, federal employee unions, the news media, BLM, Russia, the Ukraine. This is the problem. And every day people are seeing it more clearly. Every day people are realizing, wow, this guy's not only a goofball. I mean, Corn Pop is, he's off the hizzle. But he flops in the wind. And that's the problem when you don't put America first. If you put America first, like President Donald Trump does, then you don't say, well, what's the Communist Party going to think about it? What do you think we should do to please China? How do I please the federal employee unions? How do I make all the teachers happy? How do I make BLM happy? Think about it. How do I make Antifa happy? Are we going to be able to make the Ukraine happy? Can we keep the leftist protesters happy? That's not the job of a president, especially of the greatest country on earth. We'll be right back on the EIB Network. We open the show today, hour one of the Rush Limbaugh Show, and we talked a lot, and Rush always spoke a lot about the greatness and the value of law enforcement, men and women in law enforcement, men and women in the military, people that are on that, the edge of where good people might get into danger. They need to be protected or saved or helped or defended. And the left, as you know, has kind of worked against that. And the left is big on platitudes. If I hear one more person in BLM talk about love and embracing people, and in the background, there's a mall burning, it's getting ridiculous. That's why earlier today, and I'm going to have this on my Gab page, gab.com/Ken Matthews. I'm going to have the whole article on there. Several folks did a story on it, including ABC. And if you missed it, it's just, it's wonderful. And that is the man who lost his daughter, 17 years old. This is, a couple months ago. And his daughter was running with the wrong people, and she had a substance abuse problem. And there was a shootout with police. They stole a car. She and the young man she was with both had guns. They fired at the police. They were wearing masks, and the police just fired to protect themselves, and they ended up killing them. And he invited the police chief to the funeral, and he forgave the police chief, and he forgave the officers that were in the shootout. And he said, I understand. I understand. My daughter shot a gun at you, and you were just doing your job. Can you imagine if that level of forgiveness was contagious? Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. And you juxtaposition that with the woman who called a police officer a murderer about 10 times on her way to teach school kids, by the way. She was a teacher. She reminded us. But you look at those two things. You look at the level of maturity of that man and his ability to understand reality and not blame someone else for a reality that did not fit what he wanted. That's what the left is missing. They've been missing it for decades. when are these people going to grow up? No, that's real. It's a legitimate question. But as a parent, you're probably a parent too, or you know a parent. Can you imagine? Could you imagine that level of forgiveness? Of yes, it's heart-wrenching that we've lost our child, but our child did fire a gun at you and try to kill you, and you had to return fire. Can you imagine that level of, it's beyond maturity. It's hard to believe, actually. 800-282-2882. Really quick, let's get a call from Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is Paul. Hi, Paul. You're on the Rush Limbaugh Show.
You know, I think the majority of this country, they're done listening to how it's the responsibility of law enforcement to open a dialogue about race and policing with cop-hating bigots like the lady that was pulled over in California and the LeBron Jameses and the BLMs of the world. I want the cops to adopt the language of the clip that you played earlier with the major and tell these people, no, you know what, we're done talking to you. We already know what you think about us. You're all a bunch of racists and bigots, and you hate cops regardless of what we say. So from now on, this is where we stand. If you don't want to get shot, don't shoot at cops. You don't want to get shot, don't be a thug in the street resisting arrest. You don't want to get shot, stop teaching your kids from the time that they can talk to hate cops, hate white people, and to think that everyone's a racist. It's as simple as that.
That is great advice, Paul, and I want to thank you for calling because we hear time and time again, and I mean this, and if you haven't, if you are on the left and you only see the videotapes of law enforcement that CNN and MSNBC allow you to see, well, then you're going to think this is crazy. But I could show you video after video after video and case after case after case and just a handful of ride-alongs that I've been a part of, without a camera, by the way. Law enforcement is gracious, and they have a certain vibe, a certain calm about them. And what the news media does is they take this microscope and they say, what can fire up the narrative for this weekend? Think about how many times you've seen the loop of a shooting over and over. Think about the lies that were spread about the police officer and that whole incident in Columbus. It was just a nonstop lie fest. Everything came out wrong, and then it had to be redacted, redacted, redacted. And then in slow motion, you saw a teenage girl trying to stab another teenage girl in the eye with a 7-inch knife or something. This is the ridiculousness of it. If CNN would just pause for a moment and say just what Paul said. Now, don't say it the same way Paul said it, because people at CNN are too woke. But if you're a grown-up, like in this audience, if you're driving along and you just heard Paul, nobody drove off the road and said, oh my God, I can't believe he's saying, what does he say? He's saying what most parents tell their kids. I can remember being 12. Son, you don't want to get into it with a cop. Not worth it. Don't do it. He used to tell me that all the time. Don't be a smartass. Let him see your hands. Don't make trouble where you don't have to. That's how I was raised. Why is that so hard? We'll be right back. Excuse me. Going to have to stop dancing, please. Sir, can you drop the woman that, thank you. No dancing. Washington, D.C. I don't get blue cities. I don't understand progressives. They're working round the clock to destroy what economy is left after 2020. The year that threw wrenches into the wedding plans of so many couples are now facing another hurdle. Because the mayor, and you may have read, she is the smartest person on earth, the mayor of Washington, D.C. has banned dancing at indoor and outdoor weddings. Oh, but no, there's some fine print here also. You shouldn't be standing around at a cocktail hour either. Well, I guess no one from Congress is going to that wedding. This is absurd, but it's true. Standing and dancing at receptions is no longer allowed. And the latest order, oh, this is so great. This is like communism. This is so nice. 25% capacity. That's what you're allowed. Oh, thank you, oh, great leader.
Hello.
Always good to see you in hour three as well. The EIB network. I guess you could say, well, I think it's a fact that conservatives have a better sense of humor than most liberals and most leftists. And although conservatives take important issues seriously, I find that conservatives don't usually take themselves so seriously. Rush was a great example of that. He could talk about these giant topics, historical markers of greatness, about the greatness of our country. But then he can make fun of himself and make fun of politicians. Politicians love to take themselves seriously. One of the funniest examples of this, of having a sense of humor, when I first saw the latest CIA recruitment video, I thought it was like the Babylon Bee or The Onion or a parody. The internet is filled with talented producers and writers that make funny, funny things. If you want to laugh, there's plenty to laugh about. There's plenty to cry about, too, but there's plenty to laugh about. So out comes the CIA recruitment video, because everybody's woke. And this was posted on Twitter recently, and I watched it. I couldn't believe it. President Trump commented on it. And you wonder, look, I do not believe our enemies are laughing at us. I think they're laughing at our leadership. I've never been one of those people that says, well, China's laughing at America. I don't think anyone laughs at America. It's too impressive. But the leadership, oh, yeah. I don't think they've been able to stop laughing since Joe Biden was installed. And this woke thing that started years ago under the leadership of the Obama-sia, it's crazy. I want to take a listen to an actual current CIA recruitment video. Here it is.
When I was 17, I quoted Zora Neale Hurston's How It Feels to Be Colored Me in my college application essay. The line that spoke to me stated simply, I am not tragically colored. There is no sorrow dammed up in my soul nor lurking behind my eyes. I do not mind at all. At 17, I had no idea what life would bring, but Zora's sentiment articulated so beautifully how I felt as a daughter of immigrants then and now. Nothing about me was or is tragic. I am perfectly made. I can wax eloquent on complex legal issues in English while also belting Guayaquil de mis amores in Spanish. I can change a diaper with one hand and console a crying toddler with the other. I am a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional. But my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I earned my way in, and I earned my way up the ranks of this organization. I am educated, qualified, and competent, and sometimes I struggle. I struggle feeling like I could do more, be more to my two sons, and I struggle leaving the office when I feel there's so much more to do. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance. I am proud of me. Full stop. My parents left everything they knew and loved to expose me to opportunities they never had. Because of them, I stand here today a proud first-generation Latina and officer at CIA. I am unapologetically me. I want you to be unapologetically you, whoever you are. Know your worth. Command your space. Mija, you're worth it.
All right. There you go. Know your worth. Command your space. I lost track. I was trying to write down all the wokeness in that, and I lost track. There's about 17 things she brought up. Now, the first thing I would say as a taxpaying American citizen, why are you even advertising? I thought you guys recruit covertly. There's some Chinese operative right now, and, you know, they love hanging out, and they love hanging out at universities and dating American congresspeople. But there's some Chinese spy laughing their butt off right now. I'm going to read the mission of the CIA. This is from the government website. To preempt threats and further United States national security objectives by collecting foreign intelligence that matters, producing objective all-source analysis, conducting effective covert action as directed by the president. Now, that last part we need to get rid of. Just between us friends, they have no business being involved in covert action. That's the problem. It's one of our biggest problems right now. But let's just stick to the first two lines. How in the world did anything that woman say relate to that mission? This is the absurdity of wokeness. That's what the absurdity is. You often hear us confused about it. We are confused. What I heard in that was I. I didn't hear, I am part of the greatest nation on earth, and I want to work with fellow Americans that want to sacrifice and whatever it may be. I heard nothing about team. That's one thing that liberals managed to do. They suck team out of team. Well, they suck the life out of a lot of things. But that was just, like I said, it started out, I thought, uh-oh, here we go. This is a parody. Oh, no, it's not. Is there anything she wasn't? And was there anything she didn't want to be other than she never mentioned, I want to protect the United States. I want to help keep my neighbors safe. No. She can change a diaper with one hand and she's a cisgender. Well, great, CIA. You just reduced more recruitment. So the Democrats have managed to shrink the military, get police retiring by the end of this show, and now you're telling people in the CIA, hey, don't come in here all like rock 'em, sock 'em, kick commie butt. We don't have time for that. You better be woke or there's going to be a problem. And, you know, we talked about this earlier. In the first hour, we talked about that really is the real extremism that's going on in this country, and it's unchecked. Oh, my gosh. Whether it's from the CIA, whether it's corporate cowards, or as we read those demands from Black Lives Matter, it's all about politics. Black Lives Matter is a political force.
Let me grab this guy, Kenny in Fort Myers.
Hey, Rush, I noticed a lot of these companies are jumping on this bandwagon, and they're pretty insistent on it, from full-screen banners to literal an email I got from Uber insisting that they stand in solidarity shoulder to shoulder. And I'm curious why these companies are so insistent on telling me that instead of just remaining neutral and not stirring up an obvious pot of something that is...
Because they're not neutral. Do you realize Amazon is the retail division of the Washington Post?
Yeah, I saw
they're not.
He couldn't wait to get rid of his racist customers.
They're not neutral, but there's an even different answer than that. You have to look at what Black Lives Matter is. Black Lives Matter is an intimidating political operation or force. You don't dare oppose them. People are bowing down and caving to Black Lives Matter every day. But there's another reason for it. Amazon needs to sell stuff. And guess who some of Black Lives Matter's biggest supporters are? Young, white millennials. particularly young white millennial women, love Black Lives Matter. They have bought full-fledged into the idea that America is a racist nation, that it's incorrectable, that it is irredeemable, and they are filled with sympathy for African Americans who may have never been discriminated against, who weren't alive during slavery, but they are all in the effort to create this massive wave of sympathy. It's everywhere. And so Amazon wants to sell things to people. And if young white millennials, particularly women, think Black Lives Matter is the end-all to end-all, then by God, Amazon's going to make sure they know they think the same thing. Do you know that at Amazon you can buy shirts that say Blue Lives Murder? Amazon is selling shirts that say Blue Lives Murder. Yes, they are. And they don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's no different. You know, why did every automobile manufacturer jump on the climate change movement? Why did Exxon jump on the climate change movement? When Exxon's one of the big targets. Well, once they figure out that a majority of Americans have bought into anything, they're going to try to meet them and be there at the same place, whether they actually believe in it or not. Everything's marketing. Let me give an example of what I mean when we have so much caving going. What do you think it is when the NYPD shuts down the 600 officer plainclothes unit? Think that's not a cave? That is a cave to Black Lives Matter. That's a cave that's brought about by the police commissioner, probably the mayor, de Blasio. Police officers across this country are quitting their jobs. Albuquerque, New Mexico, has decided to use social workers to handle some 9/11 calls. In Minneapolis, 7 cops resigned from the department. In Atlanta, 8 officers have resigned this month. In South Florida, 10 officers resigned from the Miami SWAT unit. In Buffalo, nearly 60 officers have resigned from the emergency response team. Cops are quitting left and right because they know nobody's got their back.
You know what wokeness has become? That is the real virus. Just saying, the way it's spreading everywhere and the damage it's doing. On a better note, what are your plans for Mother's Day? It's this Sunday. Allow me to suggest a great gift idea, one that you can get started on now and involve mom and everyone else in the project. It's the idea of revisiting your old family films and videotapes by digitally transferring them. Legacy Box is the best company for this project. Rush shared this idea with us last year around Mother's Day.
Now, Mother's Day this year is going to be a bit of a challenge for people if they're unable to get together with mom. But regardless how it happens and where, the celebrations will include revisiting memories of times together in the past, in some cases long ago. Sometimes there are going to be memories of times long ago for which there are photos and films and videos, but you can't see them because they're so old that they're on formats nobody has anymore, like VHS or Betamax, Super 8 film, slide projector kind of things. Sharing stories is great. When you can add pictures and video in old movies, it's that much better. And there's an outfit out there that makes this possible now, Legacy Box. This is something people think that they can do themselves. And you could, but it would require an investment in a lot of equipment, and it would take you a lot of time. And there's no reason to do it yourself when Legacy Box is out there and is willing to do it for you. Legacy Box digitizes and transfers old family films and videotapes onto either DVD or thumb drives, or if you just want to put them somewhere in the cloud, or a cloud server for you to download, they'll do that as well, so that everybody in the family or friends of the family can once again relive and see some of these memories, which nobody has seen in literally decades, because that's how old some of the formats are. Legacy Box has the gear to make it possible. They'll send you a box, the Legacy Box. It is shielded and protected. You put all the stuff in it. It will not get damaged in transit. They get it back and they start the digital transfer, high speed, all that, maintaining the best original quality, and they get it back to you in a couple of weeks. So go online to legacybox.com/rush. LegacyBox.com/Rush. Save 50% off your purchase at that website this week. LegacyBox.com/Rush is the website. And again, just entering that will give you 50% off what they normally charge to do this.
My name is Ken Matthews. I'm your guide today, and I'm thrilled that you're here. Great calls today, by the way. Well, as always, but special today. I don't know why. Maybe because it's Tuesday. And you know, Tuesday is special. 800-282-2882. Let's go to Andy in Wisconsin. Andy, you're on the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Ken, thank you so very much. And my heart does go out to Rush. I just wanted to share with you, my father's been a police officer for 51 years. He still puts the uniform on today. In his 46th year, he had an incident where somebody put a knife into his neck twice. And like he said, an incident like this will not make me retire. I will retire when I want to retire.
Wow.
One other shout out is to Mr. Scott Walker, our past governor. Without people knowing, that man freed up his day and sat with my father for 2.5 hours in his room the day after the incident. And there is nothing more to me than knowing who my father is and the man that he is.
And that's incredible. And I would imagine you probably get some wisdom from him over the years, but what is his advice for what's happening now? I mean, half a century in law enforcement, he probably could write a book, but what is he telling you that he's seeing now? What is his advice?
Simply stay forward, stay focused, and make sure the path that you walk is a true one.
Well, it sounds like he's done it. I'm glad you called, Andy. I really appreciate it. 800-282-2882. Linda in St. Louis. Hi, Linda. You're on the Rush Limbaugh Show.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, Ken.
Hello.
Hi. I was calling about your earlier piece on the CIA promo ad.
Yes, that was an actual recruitment ad. Are you thinking about joining the CIA?
No, I'm a little old for that. But actually, I have another take on that ad. It, to me, she talked about all of her accomplishments, how she's done all this stuff, and she's a woman of color, and she's been promoted through the ranks and all of this. So, to me, that ad kind of disintegrates their argument that all our systems are full of racism, because she's shown that she can work hard and get through, and where is the racism in that if she's a woman of color?
Wow. That is an astute observation. You're absolutely correct. In fact, what if she did the entire commercial without mentioning her race or her sexual orientation? If she just said, you know, I put myself through school, I went through training, I'm a mother, I'm all these different things.
Oh, I agree with you. That's exactly how it should be.
What you observe, though, is so true. And that happens so often, does it not? So many times we see these racial dynamics involved in something where some people like yourself are listening and going, so what's the point? You're there, you're doing well, you weren't discriminated against. I don't understand, you know?
Yes, I completely agree. But we need to get back to a society like Martin Luther King envisioned, where I love the John Wooden quote that says, I am not better than anyone, but I am not worse than anyone. And that's how I look at people that I run into in my daily life. And that's how we should all be looking at people.
What a great message. Thank you, Linda. And as you were talking, you were reminding me of how Rush interacted with so many different people. And you heard it over the years, 30 plus years of Rush talking to us as listeners, more than 30 years. But what was so amazing is this is what you hear most, and I would hear it. Oh, I met Rush in person? Oh, my gosh. He's nothing like like they say on CNN or any number of people that disagree with them. I'm so sad that now in this country, in particular on the left, if you disagree with someone, you have a right to just attack them, even if you don't even know them. It's amazing how wokeness pops up in so many problem areas, for lack of a better term. Wokeness. Look, I think woke is a joke, just to be clear. It's much better to be awake than woke. Woke is it's the renaming, the repositioning of something. We talked about this before. It's like saying something's hate speech when free speech is free speech. And being awake is being awake. The woke thing is you better be thinking like I want you to think, or you're not as awake as me. You're not woke. So I have to share this article with you, and I don't know if you saw it. This is from Vogue magazine. So you know right there it's going to be hip. Vogue. You've probably seen the logo. This is UK Vogue. So this is Vogue with an accent. So it's going to be extra hip. Yes. And listen to this title. Is having a baby in 2021 pure environmental vandalism? And that's the other thing about woke. Woke is so far from common sense that when you first hear it, you have to do a double take. Have you noticed that? When woke people say something, you go, just for a minute, you're like, You're being sarcastic, right? Right, Caitlyn Jenner? You're just joking me. You want to run for governor. and she's woke. But let's go back to Vogue. And I'll read some of this to you. For the scientifically engaged person, there are few questions more troubling when looking at the current climate emergency than having a baby. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. I was going to laugh, but I decided not to, because when you think about the stupidity of this article, is there anybody out there? Well, maybe now, but I know when my wife and I wanted to have kids, we didn't say, what about the current climate emergency? Of course, it was almost 20 years ago, but it was a big climate emergency then, because Al Gore was still, you know, he was still around and 90 pounds lighter. But so they go on to say, are there any more questions more troubling than the current climate emergency? Whether your body thrives to reproduce, throbs, or you passively believe that it is on the cards or in the cards for you one day, or you actively seek to remain child-free, the declining health of the planet cannot help but factor into your thinking. Who thinks like this? Other than the Greta Thunberg, possibly, or some radical leftist environmentalist. Now, this woman has had a baby. She's writing about it. I don't know her age. She sounds like millennial, maybe early 30 would be a millennial. She said, before I got pregnant, I worried feverishly about the strain on the Earth's resources that another Western child would add. So this is Vogue magazine, all over, you know, the UK version of Vogue. You can get it here, too, but, you know, it's Vogue magazine. So this is a fashion magazine, a hipster fashion magazine. It's thick, mostly ads, way overpriced. Everybody's airbrushed. It's really glossy. And this is what they're talking about. They're talking about, you're thinking of getting pregnant? Do you know what a drain on our planet that could be? She goes on to say, as I was thinking about the baby that I might have, I thought about the food he would eat, the nappies he would wear, the electricity he would use. Who thinks like this? I'm sorry. This is foreign to me. Foreign in the sense that it's the UK, but it's just weird. Honey, what about the electricity he might use? I don't know. Your baby's got to be pretty darn big to, you know, to drain the grid. Before he even started sitting up, my child would have already contributed far more to climate change than his counterpart, say, in the South Sudan. Okay, so this woman's a nut. This is the danger of wokeness. This woman has devalued human life so it's less than whatever else might be out there. You know, let's not bring life into the world because of the rainforest. Let's not bring life into the world because people are starving. This is how a lot of people, the super rich, the people that might be destroying our planet at a rate unimaginable hundreds of years ago, the super rich, this is how the movie stars, the ones that fly in on a Learjet to the Hamptons, and then they rent a bicycle for the weekend. And the photo of them on the bicycle, you see them driving around. Oh, look, here's Leonardo DiCaprio on. No, he's on a unicycle. Look at his balance. And then he gets back on his Learjet. But she goes on to say, the author, even people living regular lives in an economically developed country like me are having a disproportionately high impact on the world. So there's no talk at all in this entire article. And this is what's so scary about people that are brainwashed. Millions are brainwashed like this. Generationally, it's being taught. It's wokeism. It's being reinforced from every place, from entertainment channels to the Weather Channel. Or maybe they're one and the same. So there's no discussion about my child, the health of my child, the beauty of bringing life into the world, and what contribution might my child make? What if my child makes a contribution that helps the world be better? What if my child brings smiles to another person's life or an organization is created that helps the world? It's totally opposite. It's like, darn, if I wasn't a human, darn it, I can't reproduce. There's coal over there. I think we have time for a quick call here. Al in Wisconsin. Al, can you pronounce the name of your city so I don't get it wrong?
Eau Claire.
Okay, see, I would have gotten it wrong. But anyway, welcome. Welcome to the EIB Network.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, about this defund the police and stuff, I think you should go back and listen to a speech that Obama gave when he was running for president. It was given on July 2nd of 2008 in Boulder, Colorado, and about 16, 17 minutes into the speech, he talks about having a national security force that's as big and well-funded as the U.S. military. So I think that's what's really behind defund the police. They want to defund the police, then create so much, have so much crime and stuff. Oh, we got to do something. Well, we'll have a national police force, which the Democrats think they'll control. And you know what will happen then.
Al, that is a great point, because when you look at the pillars of communism, they spelled it out repeatedly that we have to have central command for education, central command for production and economy, central command for security. That is exactly. Can you imagine? Could you imagine if Joe Biden was also the police chief? We would all be longing for Barney Fife. If we just had Barney and Andy, they would fix it. 800-282-2882. This is the Rush Limbaugh Show on the EIB Network, and we'll be right back. Perhaps someone has already come up to you today. If they haven't, I'll be the first to say it. May the 4th be with you. I'm not tongue-tied, although I have been today. It's Star Wars Day. And where did this come from? When Disney acquired Lucasfilm in 2012, they created a holiday. Corporations will do that sometimes. Using it in 2020 to mark the finale of the animated series, Star Wars. So it is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And what better occasion than to revisit Rush's Family Guy appearance.
Hey, mind if I turn on the radio?
WTAT, Tatooine's all-talk radio.
My good friends, the liberal galactic media is at it again. They never stop. Now they're trying to convince us that Hoth is melting. Well, that's crazy. Just trying to scare us. And if that weren't enough to get you mad, we now have news that Lando Calrissian has been made the chief administrator of the Bespin mining facility. Gee, I wonder how he got that job. Well, let me tell you how he got that job. Affirmative action strikes again.
That is iconic. I actually have that episode recorded. I completely forgot about that. That is crazy. And Rush actually appeared on the show more than once. And if you're wondering how that came to be, here he is explaining it to a caller, how he wound
Sarah,
up on Family
Wilmington,
Guy.
Sarah, Delaware, you're next on the program. Hello.
Hi, Rush. How are you?
Good.
I was watching Family Guy last Sunday, and there was a scene where it sounded like I heard your voice, and then I saw your name in the credits, and I wanted to know how that came about.
I was sitting here minding my own business, and we got a call from Seth MacFarlane, who is the creator of the program, and he asked, and this is back in, I think it was April or May, and he said, we're working on our season premiere for next season, 07, and we're doing a little Star Wars thing, and we've got a little bit of the script we'd like you to do. Would you do it? They sent what the script in was. It was fine. So I said, sure, I'd love to. So they, on the day we recorded, I recorded it here in my studio. They were out in Hollywood, wherever they are. I guess it took about 20 minutes to get it the way they wanted it done. And they were as nice as they could be. It was a lot of fun to do.
Do you ever watch the show?
I had never seen it. I had to go find out what it was. I don't watch cartoons. I haven't seen The Simpsons either in a long, long time. Nothing against it. I'm just not... cartoons to me are for 8-year-olds.
Sure. Can I also tell you that back when I was 19, I'm 29 now, I once gave $20 to President Clinton's defense fund. And shortly after that, I started to listen to you, and I started to think. And then I went on to go to law school, and I became president of the Republican group at my law school. And I'm now practicing law, but I'm definitely conservative and been listening to you for 10 years, and you are the one who changed my thinking. So I just want to thank you for that.
Well, that is nice of you to say. I appreciate that. I love hearing these kinds of stories because whether you know it or not, this kind of thing happens a lot, and this threatens the Democrats, it threatens the left, and it makes me a bit of a target, which I say bring it on. But you're very kind. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Rush went on to appear on Family Guy again, as you may remember, and we'll be sure to play that for you at another date. But for now, on Star Wars Day, we like to think of him up among those stars in a galaxy far, far away, but always close in memory here on the EIB network. And for those that are missing Rush, check out rushlimbaugh.com, the Limbaugh Letter. And the nice thing about the Limbaugh Letter, every monthly issue of America's number one political newsletter is driven by Rush Limbaugh's vision, his humor, optimism, plus cutting-edge news and analysis. This May issue is hot off the press, and this month's teachable moment explains how the left is turning its weapons of cultural destruction on the military and the danger that it poses for national security. So if you're not a subscriber, go to rushlimbaugh.com, subscribe today. While you're there, you may want to just mouse on over to Rush 24/7 and check out the amount of archival stuff, video, audio, photographs, and the wit and wisdom of Rush Limbaugh. We'll be right back. By the way, May the 4th be with you was the EIB high note of the day. And I know a lot of people, including Rush, enjoyed that. Let's go to Richard in Texas. Richard, you're on the EIB network.
Hey, I just want to say I want to thank y'all very much because every time you put Rush on the radio, I forget he's gone. I love him so much, been listening for a long time. I called in November 5th, 2011, and told him something that Obama said that he didn't know Obama said. So he sends me an iPad 2, a case of his tea, and a book, An Army of One. And I was so thrilled to have something with his name on it. But I had a young man stay with me, and he stole that iPad from me. And I'm like, It wasn't so much the op as the fact that I had EIB and Rush Limbaugh on that thing that I was so excited. But every time I hear Rush's, every time I hear his voice, it's like he's not gone. He invented this game. He was the best at it. He was always right when he predicted stuff with politics.
Yes, he did. He opened the doors for many, many people. Thank you so much, Richard. That was a beautiful call. I can't believe someone stole the iPad. Well, make sure you go back to rushlimbaugh.com, because as I was scrolling through it here during the commercial break, and that thing we had on yesterday, Masks Are the New Ribbons, that hysterical sketch that Rush did probably 20-plus years ago on the TV show. You got to check it out. There's a funny picture of, and he plays that character so well when he puts all the ribbons and stuff on. But you talk about a person that is really paying attention to the direction and the greatness of America, but also the culture. And like Richard said, and I feel the same thing when I'm listening to other guides, I hear a Rush segment, and you, for that moment, you, it's almost hard to believe that he's moved on. And we're thrilled that you're still here. So 800-282-2882. And I'm going to be back tomorrow. And before I go, I just want to remind you again about Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone, with our friend James Golden, our very own Bo Snerdly. 1 week from tomorrow, he will be doing a 12-part series on everything that went on in front and behind the mic, and he is really the man to do it. James worked with Rush for over 30 years, and the team that made this possible, he was one of the leaders on that team. And I also want to thank the team for today for putting all those great cuts in. We covered so much ground today, and we were still able to get some wonderful calls in, and that means the world to us. God bless you. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.